But there was a resurrection. Glory to God. And Jesus is alive. He's been raised from the dead by the power of God, by his Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit that if he dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. Isn't that right? He's given us a future and a hope. He is the anchor of our soul. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I wasn't always a happy person, but now that I've met Jesus, and after 43 years, glory to God, I'm getting happier all the time. How about you? Because he is the joy of our life. Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name forevermore. What do they do here? Charlotte wishes you all a very happy Easter. She sent you a Easter card, so she wishes you all a happy Easter. If you're online, Charlotte, happy Easter to you and your family. And all that are online, social media, live stream, wherever you may be, glad that you could join us today. It's a great day to join together. Of course, it's always a great day to join together in the corporate anointing. Isn't that right? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, when it comes to the resurrection, there's so many things you could talk about. I mean, so many things. I've taught on the resurrection for years, and yet you don't even have to repeat what you've taught because there's just so much in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want to cover a few things today, starting over in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verses 11 through 17, John chapter 20, because this is when Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet of where the body of Jesus had been lying. Wasn't lying there anymore. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, how many times you supposed Jesus was actually somebody or somebody else, you know? You didn't know that. That person that came up and talked to you on the street about Jesus, you thought that was just somebody blowing smoke in your face. But it was the living Savior, the Spirit of the living God, trying to touch your heart, to bring you into place of unity and oneness and place of glory and eternity with him. Hallelujah. She said, why are you weeping and whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary, that's all he had to say, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Hallelujah. Now, the way it's written here in the Bible, it says, stop clinging to me. But in the Greek, it is actually the Greek word me, me, which means no, not, don't. An absolute negative, do not touch me. So it wasn't that she was clinging to him and he's saying, no, stop it. He's like, she's about to go like this. And he's like, oh, no, don't cling to me. Do not hold on to me. Don't touch me. Why? He said, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. Well, if you go over to the book of Luke, chapter 24, Luke 24, verse 39, now Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Okay, so he meets Mary, but now he's speaking to his disciples here in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. And he says to his disciples, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have." So now he says to his disciples, "Touch me." But to Mary, he said, "Don't touch me." So what's happened? Something has happened between when he met Mary and when he meets his disciples. Something is different. And when he said here, a spirit does not have flesh and bone, it's actually the word ghost, a phantom. A ghost does not have flesh and bone. Like Casper. Casper didn't have flesh and bone. You remember the old cartoon, right? All right. No flesh and bone. But here he is, he says that he has flesh and bone. All right, now, are you made up of flesh and bone? Yes. Well, what else are you made up of? Blood. Well, where's the blood? See, he says, flesh and bone, as you see that I have, but he didn't say blood. So go to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, and then we'll read verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 and 12. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. So he's not entering into a man-made tabernacle, not of this creation, verse 12. And not through the blood of goats and calves. You know, the high priest in the Old Testament, they would take the blood of goats and calves and go into the earthly tabernacle and put the blood out as a way of covering their sin. Isn't that right? And he says, but he did it in the, not the earthly tabernacle, but the heavenly one. And he did it through his own blood. And he entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 24 and 25. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. So in the Old Testament, the high priest would go into the tabernacle with blood that was not his. It was animal blood. And they would offer that animal blood as a way of covering their sin year after year after year. But Christ entered into the heavenly tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And he entered in with his own blood and put his blood out on the mercy seat for the propitiation of our sin. The perfect spotless blood that was shed for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he said, "Touch me, for I am flesh and bone," he has now, after he spoke to Mary, now he's ascended to the heavens and he's offered his blood as the propitiation for our sin. And now he's come back down to the earth, standing before his disciples. And now he says, "Touch me, for the payment of sin has already been made, and I have left my blood in heaven on the mercy seat." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he never shows us his stripes or his wounds from the thorns. So where are they? Because he did have them, didn't he? Well, if you remember, you don't have to look at it, but you remember 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "Who his own self bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes or by his wounds we were healed." Amen. Amen. So every time that he was whipped before he even went to the cross, every time he got whipped, those stripes on his back, God was putting sicknesses and diseases onto him to carry to that cross, that he would bear away our sicknesses and our diseases. Amen. Hallelujah. So those stripes, those wounds was used to bear away our diseases, our calamities, our anxieties, our pains, and our sorrows, which is a fulfillment of what was spoken of in Isaiah 53. Isn't that right? The great chapter of substitution, where he was our substitute. The chastisement that should have come on us came on him. By his wounds, we were healed. Hallelujah. He was our substitute. He did that for us. When Jesus died on the cross, you died on the cross. Amen. Amen. And all you have to do is accept the sacrifice that was offered up for you. There is no other sacrifice that was offered up for you. None. And there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Not your blood, not my blood, but perfect spotless blood. The perfect spotless blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. He fulfilled the laws of atonement so that we could be free from sin. Glory to God. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. And then over, you don't have to turn there either, but in Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about that he traded in our thorns because he gave us a crown of glory. There is no more crown of thorns, but now there's a crown of glory. And that's why we can reign in life as kings under the King, the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory. Isn't that right? He took the curse of darkness away from us. He delivered us so that the riches that was being held by darkness could be ours. Hallelujah. He stormed the gates of hell and took back everything that belongs to us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, if I was to, if for instance, you got, let's say you got robbed, your house got robbed, and we knew who robbed your house, and we go to that person's house, and we take back everything that belongs to you. And I've got all that stuff now in my house, and I go, here it is, it's yours, just come and get it. And you go, nah, I don't want to come get it, you can bring it to me. No, I already went and got it. All you have to do is come and get it. Well, I don't want to go get it. Well, that's the way people are. Jesus has gone through the portals of hell to pay the price for your sin, and people don't want to pick it up. They're just waiting. Well, God will do it. He already did it. He did it 2,000 years ago. He's waiting on you. All you have to do is make a choice. You know, I made the choice 43 years ago. Some people made the choice 20 years ago. Some people made the choice 60 years ago. Some people made the choice last week. But it's all about the choice to receive that which has already been provided. Isn't that right? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, nobody, there is no way, no how that anybody can come to the Father except through me. Because he's the only one that's paid the price for our sin. Hallelujah. There are no more thorns. There are no more stripes. There's no more blood. He gave them all up for us so that we can be free. Hallelujah. Being redeemed from the curse, being set free. Now, some people say things like, well, if Jesus redeemed us from sickness and disease and he bore it away, then why do people still get sick? Well, I don't know. If he paid the price for your sin, why do you still? But we won't go there. The whole idea is that if you sin because of the blood of Jesus and you have already received him as your sacrifice, then because of the blood of Jesus, there's forgiveness for that sin. And if there's sickness that comes on your body, there's healing for that sickness. It's available. And all we have to do is what? Pick it up. It's ours. Praise God. Jesus provided it for us. He's redeemed us from it all. He's redeemed our health. He's given us glory. But he kept the nail prints, because the nail prints are the witness that he is the sacrifice. And as the sacrifice, he is worthy to judge every single person, because he's the one that paid the price. He's able to judge who did receive and who didn't receive. I know that, you know, people want you to think, well, everybody that died, oh, they all go to heaven. You ever notice that? Every time somebody died, oh, they all went to heaven. Oh, they went to heaven. How do you know that? Not everybody goes to heaven. Oh, but, you know, people have gone to the light. Well, did they stay there? Because the light is the place of judgment. That doesn't mean you stayed there. I saw a great light. Great. Did you miss it or did you get it? There's great accounts in the Bible about people that have gone on and then came back and talked about what went on the other side of the dirt. Isn't that right? That's why he kept the nail prints, because he is the witness, he is the sacrifice, and he is the judge of all. Father God does not judge anybody. Jesus is the judge of all. The soldiers, when he was on the cross, they mocked him. They ridiculed him as a king. But they were unaware that they were bowing their knee to the one that they would stand before and be judged. Everyone, the Bible tells us, will confess Jesus as Lord, either voluntarily or forced. And when it's forced, that is not a confession of salvation. It's a confession of admission and a confession of whoops. This is why the Bible tells us that the rulers of the age, we're not talking about Pontius Pilate, we're not talking about the Roman soldiers, we're talking about the devil and his host. If the rulers of this age would have known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Jesus has done great things for us. Colossians 2, 12 through 15. And only Jesus has done great things for us. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, 12 through 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, having been buried with him, we were buried with him through baptism, in which you were also raised up with him. That was the idea of baptism, that you go down under the water and you're buried with him and you come up out of the water and you're raised up. Well, that is just an outward sign of what's already happened inwardly. Because the Bible tells us that when we got born again, we were raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? And the baptism that he's talking about here is not really water. Because every time you hear the word baptism, we think water. But that's not at all what he talks about. Most of the time when he talks about baptism in the Bible, he's not talking about water. He's talking about Jesus. You're baptized into Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, you were buried with him, and therefore you were raised with him and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's three baptisms in the Bible: water baptism, the baptism in Jesus, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. We're going all the way on to verse 15. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. And having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So where was it? Verse 13. Can we run back to verse 13 for a moment? It says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. So that means that even when you were dead in your sin, you were a sinner. You had not received Jesus as Lord of your life. You still had the nature of death in you, the nature of darkness in you, and still Jesus paid the price for you, having forgiven us all of our sin. That means that the first 30 years of my life, before I got saved, my sin had already been taken care of. But if I died without having accepted Jesus, I would not have accepted the forgiveness of my transgressions, and I would have died in my sin. Now, you with me? So that's how much God cares about you, that he loves you, that even when you were dead in your sin, he still paid the price for you so you could be free. That all it takes is a choice. This is not a doctrine of works. This is not about trying to be good enough, trying to work hard enough, trying to be nice enough, not trying to eat the right food, not trying to say the right thing, not all this other outward stuff. It's all about a choice. And that's all it's about, is a choice. Hey, after I made the choice for Jesus in my life, I drank as much as I wanted to drink after getting saved. I just didn't want to drink anymore. When I got saved, I did as much drugs as I wanted to do. I just didn't want to do anymore. Are you with me? Jesus isn't trying to clean you up before you get saved. He says, come just the way you are. Amen. Come just the way you are. Well, I'm just not good enough. Honey, there ain't nobody good enough. I'm glad you realize it, but there ain't nobody good enough. This is called grace, unmerited favor, given for you what you do not deserve. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve redemption. I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. But bless God, by the grace of God, he has provided it and allows me to partake of it. Amen. Hallelujah. The only one worthy is the Lamb of God. Isn't that right? Jesus was raised out, not just of that tomb in the earth, but he was raised out of eternal death, where he paid the price for the sin of the world. And he provided redemption for whosoever would believe. It was provided for all, but whoever believes will receive it. He defeated Satan. He defeated the host of hell. And the devil no longer has a hold on mankind. No longer has a hold on mankind. Man has a choice of who he's going to give himself to. You know, Bob Dylan sang it. You got to serve somebody. Make a choice who you're going to serve. Isn't that right? Amen. He disarmed them. In Peter, it tells us that he went and preached to the spirits that were now in prison. You know, these are spirits from the fallen angels from years ago, before the flood. And they were held in chains in prison. And Jesus went and preached to them. Well, what did he preach? Very simple. You lose, I win. Very simple. And whoever believes in me, they win too. And you have no hold on them. Simple message. Amen. When he went and preached to them, he sealed them. He sealed their judgment for their future destiny. There's no hope for fallen angels. A lot of people think, oh, God's going to forgive Satan. He's not forgiving Satan. Satan is destined. His fallen angels are destined. Angels had one opportunity to make a choice of who they would serve, whether they would serve God or whether they would serve Satan. And when Lucifer rose up in rebellion against God and a third of the angels went with him, they made their choice. The ones that stood with God made their choice. The ones that stood with Lucifer made their choice. Their choice is over. Yours is not. You, as long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to make a choice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was Jesus' completion of his triumph over evil and all evil that has ever been in the world or ever could be in the world. He's triumphed over it. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us that he took captivity captive. That when he came up out of the portals of hell, he went into the Old Testament grave or paradise called Abraham's bosom. And he took all the Old Testament saints because they could not enter into heaven under the old covenant because the blood of Jesus had not been shed. Now, they were all considered or accounted righteous, but they were not made righteous. But when Jesus shed his blood, then those that were in Abraham's bosom looking to Messiah, they were all then made righteous. And he had then took them all captive and took them on into heaven. Of course, it talks about that in Psalm 24, where it says that he is the King of glory. And it says, open up, lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty, the Lord victorious in battle. He is the King of glory. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the armies of heaven. Isn't that right? This was the battle of all ages, and he has risen glorious and victorious as the Redeemer of the spirits of men. And I bet that when he took them captive out of paradise and started bringing them to heaven, I bet David was up front. He's dancing, he's singing, and he's leading the procession into heaven. Amen. Well, here's Jesus now. They're all going in a procession up into heaven as he took captive the Old Testament saints, and he took them out of the grave's grip. And he's leading them up into heaven, and he makes a stop off. He stops off on earth, and he appears to Mary because he wants to ease the sorrow of man. You know, there's a lot of times God wants to ease your sorrow, but you think he's the gardener. Or you think he's this, or you think he's that, and you don't recognize the God that's really trying to touch you, the God that's really trying to help you. And you walk away from the gardener and you're going, I don't know why God didn't do anything. He's trying to. You won't let him. You got to let him. He wants to even more than you want him to. Are you with me? He stopped off in the middle of this great procession, in the middle of his resurrection, going into heaven, and stops to ease the sorrow of man. And he takes the time for a personal touch to Mary. And after he talks to Mary, and he goes, I have not yet ascended yet, but go tell the other guys. And he went back into the procession. And he went on up into heaven. And he sheds his blood and puts his blood out on the mercy seat of God for you and for me. And then he returns to the earth and comes to his man and shows himself alive. And he goes, okay, guys, you could touch me now because I am only flesh and bone. I have given my blood. Isn't that right? And he declares freedom to anybody that would believe on him. For the Lord God, Jesus himself, is raised up from the dead for our justification. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I used to be in a church as a child, and they would make me go into this little box and tell everything I did wrong. Sometimes I was there a little longer than usual. And of course they would say, well, to make up for what you've done, go say these prayers. Well, I hate to tell you, that don't make up for what you've done. There's nothing that makes up for what you've done. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And it's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ that can wipe away sin. Amen. Prayer won't do it. Good works won't do it. No matter what you come up with, it won't do it. It's only the blood of Jesus that paid our price. Declared freedom for everyone. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God is so good. He loves you so much. He wants to see your life change, turn around, increase. He wants you to have an abundance of life. He wants you to have a life greater than you ever thought was possible. 1 Timothy 3:16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, this used to be a hymn that they sang in the early church. They took this verse and they sang it as a hymn in the early church. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Word, God himself, the Word. They were three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And the three are in perfect agreement, and that's what makes them one. And that Word came from heaven and became flesh. He took on flesh. And the name of that flesh was Jesus. The Word is eternal. He is God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being. It is the Word. God, what we call the second person of the Trinity. He came in the form of flesh. He took on flesh. Why? Because in the garden, man sinned and brought sin upon the whole world. So therefore, it's going to take a man to come and do an act of righteousness to change the whole world. God's not going to do it. A man had to do it. So he sent the Word in the form of flesh. But the Word gave up all of his deity, gave up all of his rights and privileges as God. And it says that he was a bond servant and walked in submission and had to obey the Holy Spirit every step of the way. He did nothing of his own initiative. Amen. He only did what he was told to do, what he was directed to do. Isn't that right? He came in the flesh of man, but he was vindicated in the spirit realm. That right there in the portals of hell come alive. Because why? He took our sin. And when vindication came for all men, justice was satisfied. On that cross, there was judgment, but it was met with mercy. And mercy overcame judgments. And the mercy of God provided everything that's needed for you to be delivered and to be set free. And all you have to do is say, I receive. I accept it. That's all that it is. Justice was satisfied because Jesus, in his perfect life and perfect blood, shed for our vindication. When we were vindicated, he was raised. Amen. He was not raised up until we became vindicated. When man became vindicated, Jesus was raised up. And then he was beheld, it says, seen by angels. Well, that's the angels of God and the demonic angels, the demon angels and the angels of God. Whether it was in hell or whether it was in heaven, the angels, all angels, saw him. He was beheld on by angels, praise God. Proclaimed among the nation, proclaimed alive from the dead. Shown to over 500 people, believed on by the 11 disciples and by the women. And then Thomas showed up later on, and all who went to the upper room. And then Jesus ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, representing the victory of man that would be in Christ Jesus. That whoever would be in Christ, that victory belongs to them. That's why he's made us to be more than conquerors. You're a conqueror not because of what you did. He did it all. We just receive what he's done. Amen. 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 You know, now some people would say, well, I'm not going to receive that. I can do this on my own. Well, there's that old expression, you'll just die trying. But the real expression is, you'll go to hell trying. That's the real expression. Because outside of Christ, there is nothing that's going to work. There is one way, Jesus. He is the way. He's not a way or one of the ways. He's not a truth or a part of the truth or that truth or his truth. He is the truth. Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Wrong question. The right question is, who is truth? Truth is not a what. It's not a belief system. It's a who. And Jesus is truth. Unchanging, unbending, unwavering truth. Solid, strong. Confirmed and established truth for all eternity. It's never changed, never will change. Unlike the doctrines of men that will change by every whim, the truth of God and his word will never change. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The word of God became flesh, the Son of God. And he sits in the Trinity now, representing all who believes. For the first time since the beginning of time, man in Christ is now in the Trinity. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're Christ, but we belong to him. Yes. And we are in him. And if he's in the Trinity, we're in the Trinity. And whoever believes enters into the same place. And if the rulers of this age would have known, if they even had an inkling of an idea, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. They walked right into the Father's trap. They had no idea what was happening. They thought they were on top. They thought they were winning. And boom, Jesus gets raised from the dead and says, you lose, I win. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more verse, Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Jesus. Verses 44 to 53. Luke 24, 44 to 53. Hallelujah. Now we said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Stop there for a minute. All the things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. You know, there's an account of a man that actually died and went to hell. And it starts off by saying a certain man. Now, whenever the Bible says there was a certain man, it means it's a true story and it's not a parable. He's not telling you this to teach you a lesson. He's telling you this because it's truth. There was a certain man and he went into hell. And it says that he was suffering, and it says that he was in torment, And he asked Abraham to dip the tip of his finger in water, for Lazarus dipped the tip of his finger in water to cool off his tongue, because he's in agony in that flame. And Abraham said, nope, there's a great chasm between us and you, and we can't cross over to you, and you can't cross over to us. And so the man said, well, I have five brothers at home. Send Lazarus to them and tell them about this place of torment, lest they come here. And you remember what Abraham said? He said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. And if they don't listen to them, neither will they listen if somebody is raised from the dead. Well, one has been raised from the dead. And he has fulfilled the laws of Moses. He fulfilled everything the prophet said, and he fulfilled everything that's in the Psalms. And when he was on that cross, and he said, I'm thirsty, and they took that sponge and put it on hyssop and stuck it into his mouth with vinegar. What did he say? It is finished. Why? He fulfilled everything, all the way to the hyssop that was stuck into his mouth. Fulfilled it all. All the law of Moses, all of the prophets, and all of the Psalms. He fulfilled everything. Let's go on, verse 45. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, which is the Holy Spirit. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continuing in the temple praising God. Hallelujah. The biggest thing that Jesus did in the resurrection is that he drove darkness back from mankind. Drove him back. He destroyed Satan's stronghold on the human race. The Father, in Christ, removed all the ordinances and decrees that were against us. He's given us his life, given us his promises, given us his Holy Spirit, so that we can make a choice to head to the light and to freely walk out of the defeated darkness. Why would we want to hold to a kingdom that is defeated? The kingdom of God is the only one that will not be shaken. Everything else will be shaken. Amen. Amen. So now we can go forth in him. And we can go forth and we can proclaim the light of the gospel of God. We can help others to open their eyes to the deception of the devil and to walk out of the darkness that is already defeated in life, just like we've done. We've done that, haven't we? Darkness cannot hold us, and darkness cannot hold anyone. Darkness can't even hold a sinner. All a sinner has to do is make the choice to say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life, and darkness cannot hold you. You are pulled right out of the hands of darkness. Amen. Because we choose to walk in the light of Christ's victory, not only in the spirit realm, but in the realm of this present life and all the way into eternity. Our life on this earth is the shortest part of our existence. But yet you have enough time to make a choice to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. So bow your heads with me in the room, live stream, wherever you might be, social media. Just bow your heads with me. Jesus has been raised up from the dead, paid the price for sin for every single person. There is no one left out. There is no exceptions. Everyone is covered under his great sacrifice. Justification is there for you. It has been provided. It has been given to you. And all it does is take a choice. That's all it needs is the choice. You don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. You're just receiving what he has done on your behalf. So if you've never received Jesus, whether you're in the room, live stream, online, you can do so right now because he loves you and he's here with you. So let's just declare this together. God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus, that you sent him for me to die for my sin, to pay my price that I cannot pay, I could not afford. But this is true debt forgiveness. I thank you, Lord God, that Jesus fulfilled the plan. He shed his blood. He gave his life for me in my place so I could be free. So today I make the choice to make Jesus Lord of my life. Jesus, I accept you into my heart as my Lord and Savior, the one who paid my price that I could be free from sin. So thank you, Lord God, that now you've made me to be your child. And I can now know you as my own Father. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. I receive it and thank you for that. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if you've received Jesus today for the first time, if you would just let me know later, I just have a little book just to give you and let you know what really took place today. If you're online, on social media, or any place, just contact us. We'll send you the book in the mail. It's free, and we want you to know really what Jesus has done for you and what's transpired in your life today, because today is the first day of the rest of your eternity. Your destiny has been changed. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Do I have to go up there?
No, you don't have to come up here.
Can I stay right here?
Yes, you can.
Hallelujah. Happy Easter, everyone. Glory to God. It's a great day and great light to live. Amen. I'm not going to keep you long. We're going to take up the offering this morning before they go on to do communion. Will you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 with me for a minute? I'm going to start with 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Oh, well. There you go. Paul talking about Corinthian church. Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, talk about giving and receiving. Amen. He said, now, brother, let's go back to New American Stand. I don't talk like Pastor Bob talk. I'm talking. Americans, new Americans. That's what it is. There. New King James. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God restored on the church of Thessalonians. In great trial and affliction, in abundance of their joy, and their depravity abound in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their liberty, yet beyond their ability, they were freely willing. See, the whole key of giving to the kingdom is the willing of your mind. Is that right? So, you know, when come giving and receiving, the will is better than fault. You know, American tax pay fault, you to pay tax. But God gives you the free will, the willing to give. Back to the kingdom. He said, I pour you much urgency that we will receive the gift and the fellowship of minister to the saint. Let's jump to verse 13. For I do not, what the scripture that I've given to you back there. There you go. verse 8. I speak not the command, but I am testing sincerity of your love by diligence of another. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet he be, for you seek he become poor, that through he properly you might become rich. Jesus had exchange of the light giving. Is that right? From we can do nothing, be able to do everything. He exchanged, you know, when we die and our sin, he paid the price for us. So here he give us an opportunity. We no longer have to stay poor, stay sick, stay orphaned. He give us everything that you and I never need in life to make it in this world. Hallelujah. No another God that will give you opportunity to do what he giving to you today. He gives you the abundant light more abundantly than everything that you know and needed on this earth already provided to his death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and in this, I give advice to you, it you advantage, not only to do this, what you begin and were desired a year ago. But now you also must complete doing of it, that there was a lady in it to desire it, so there also might be a complete out of what you have. You know, God never asks anything what you don't have. Is that right? When he asks you to do something, he always supplies something with you to do it. He never asks you to do something when he not provide anything. God is providing seed into your hand so you have opportunity to sow. Is that right? Without sowing, it's nowhere, anywhere you can reap from it. God have to sow Jesus into this world to die for you and me so that he can win you and me back into his kingdom. It's likewise the same way. If you're looking for the blessing of God, you must have something to put into the kingdom of God to be able to pour those things out from the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is always looking for you to come out of everything that tried to hold you back up. You know, property is keeping the church bondage. Is that right to the year? But Jesus come to broke those property out of your life by give you opportunity to sow seed into his kingdom. Out of that seed you sow, you start to see the outcome of your life, what Jesus prepared for you on this earth. Amen. So Father, we come to you, Father God, with a willing heart and sorrow, my Father, that we know that when we give into your kingdom, we don't give into the man, but we give into you. What you need to defer to your kingdom, always need money and substance in the world, but you always provide every we need that we need it, then you always give into us to do things that you call us to do. Father, I thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You can, the envelope behind you see, you don't have one, the archer will serve you. If you like, check, make into New Life Family Worship. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. If you're online and you'd like to sow seed into the ministry, you can go to newlifefamilyworship.net and click on the giving link. And we thank you in advance for the seed that you sow. And it is seed that will bring results back into your life. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. You know, communion is such a special time in the body of Christ for its covenant. You know, many times in the Western world, we don't understand covenant. But in the Eastern world, covenant is very, very important. And covenants still take place today. This goes beyond a legal letter. This goes beyond an attorney's signature. This goes beyond a notarized stamp. You know, covenant is sealed in blood, and there is really no changing covenant. And there's only one way out of covenant, and it's not a good way. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. It's kind of like marriage. My wife said to me, you know, you can't get out of marriage unless you die. So either you're going to die or I'll kill you, one or the other, but that's the only way you'll get out. So shiver me timbers, I'm shaking in my boots. But I want to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 for a moment about communion. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Hallelujah. You know, the broken body of Christ and his shed blood has been given so that we can have victory in life. It was that broken body and shed blood that defeated the devil, all the host of hell, and all of darkness. And he wants us to have and enjoy that victory in our life, not only in the spirit realm, but also in the realm of the soul, and also in the physical life that we live. And this is, communion shows his great sacrifice, it shows his great victory, and shows the great freedom that he has provided for us. But Paul goes on to talk here, and it's very important to understand that we need to be in covenant relationship with God. Verses 27 and 28, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So we are to examine ourselves to see if we're in covenant relationship with God and with one another. You know, the Bible says that if you have an offense against somebody, to leave your offering and then go make up for that offense before you come back and offer it to the Lord. So we have to be in covenant with God, and we have to be in covenant with one another. So we are to examine or to scrutinize ourselves that we are living in covenant. So it's not about being perfect. We know that. But it's about being in good standing with God and being in good standing with others through repentance and faith in Christ. When the Holy Spirit convicts something in our life, whether it be something we're doing, whether it be our words, whatever it might be, we are to quickly repent and not sweep it under the rug and declare the word of God over those things. Because we appreciate, we value, and we honor the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We honor the covenant that he's made with us, and we give great consideration to the need and the importance of staying in that covenant, because it is a very precious thing. So we want to partake of communion today, realizing that Christ's reconciling work has removed from us our self-centeredness and brings the body of Christ into a place of unity and love with one another. Verse 29 goes on to say, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." Okay? So judging the body, we should judge the body of Christ as one. We are the body of Christ. Individual members, but we are the body of Christ. So we don't know each other according to the flesh. We know each other according to the body. So we judge the body as one in unity and oneness in Christ. We are all in Christ. We are all one in Christ. So therefore, we're all one with each other because we are all in Christ. Is that right? Amen. So then verse 30 says, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." So that means from not examining, not scrutinizing, not staying in covenant. The failure to discern the body of the Lord in an appropriate way had, because they arrogantly, self-centeredly focused on themselves, had already been producing terrible results in their life. They were weak. And the word weak means all manner of weaknesses and helplessness. Sick, it means to be in bad health, to be in broken and weak physical conditions. And it even means to be an invalid. And then it says sleep, which is very simply died. And they call it sleep because they never say a believer dies, because a believer never dies. The body falls asleep, but he will be raised up again. Amen. Now, the Corinthian church that Paul was writing to at this time was fighting. They were jealous. They were in division. They were suing one another. And yet they declared themselves to be in covenant with each other and with God. But their behavior did not demonstrate covenant. They were not living up to the terms of the covenant. And they were not living in harmony and unity with one another. And Paul urged them, as the Holy Spirit urges us, to take a truthful, scrutinizing look at our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, our actions, and judge ourselves rightly. And if repentance is in order, then do so. Because we want to live in the resurrection power of God. Can you say amen? So let's just take a moment right now and let's just examine ourselves and scrutinize where we are in the place of covenant, not only with God, but with one another. And if we need to, then let's just go ahead and repent before God and get ready to receive the elements of covenant, which is the body and the broken body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So just take a moment and let's do that. And we can do that quietly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus has given us total and complete victory. Utter defeat. There is no hope for them to ever rise up again. Like I said, all they have is a mouth to lie to you and get you to do things that would create problems and issues and problems in your life. So let's just declare this together, because he said, do this in remembrance. Jesus has purchased my salvation. He's fulfilled the law of atonement for me. He entered the holy place and offered his blood for me. My debt was paid. My debt was canceled. My past is over. And I've been given a new start. It is finished. And Jesus has accomplished it for me. With joy, I look forward to his coming again. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So as we partake this morning of communion, we're going to celebrate the victory of Jesus over Satan, over sin, over eternal death, and over all that darkness offers to humans, mankind, and all the darkness and all of the curse that Satan freely offers every single person. But yet Jesus has given us the victory over it all. So as we partake of the covenant's elements today, I want you to come up. You can come up this side aisle over here, walk on through, and go back down on that side over there. And I want you to celebrate and remember that as you partake of the body and the blood of Jesus, the power of darkness is broken, and you do not have to receive anything darkness offers you, but Jesus has given you authority and dominion over it all. Hallelujah. So come and receive the elements of communion.
Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. We thank you that your broken body just symbolizes the fact that you bore away our sicknesses, our diseases, calamities, anxieties, our pains, our sorrows, so that we could be made well and whole physically in our life. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, I thank you for your blood that was shed for us, for the removal of our sin, to wash us clean, to make us whole in life, to bring us into covenant with you, with Father, that we can stand in your presence without condemnation, but with boldness and confidence. For you tore down the veil of the flesh, and by your blood you have washed us clean so that we could be forever with you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Victory in our life, that you've given us victory in every part of our life. Thank you, Lord. It's total, it's complete, that we're more than conquerors and overcomers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, we honor you this day, as we do every day, in your glory. And we bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you all have a wonderful resurrection day. Enjoy the time, whatever you may be doing, whether you're eating with family or whether you're alone, Jesus is still alive and he is risen. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. See ya.